to Mentally Untable Adventures, Table Flip Number 1, where we discuss our RPG backgrounds and what we're currently into in gaming.
This podcast may contain bad language, crude humor, and graphic violence, and in general is not fit for human consumption.
So the guys all wanted to get together after our most recent play session and just have a little table discussion that we would share with you guys about what we're currently into in gaming and other general topics. If you're interested or want to provide us some feedback, feel free to email us at muta@wowway.com or look us up on Facebook. We're Mentally UTA. Have a good show. All right, guys. Thanks for coming. Don't even start. So we thought we'd get together and talk for just a little bit. So this will be our inaugural table flip episode where we do a little bit of discussion post-game and talk about a few things. So first, I thought we'd just go around and say hello and introduce ourselves and maybe start out with a little bit of your... gaming background. When did you get into gaming? What's sort of your history with it a little bit? And I think we'll start down at the end of the table there with Woody.
Sweet. So, yeah, Woody here. I guess my initial gaming background was with Mac, and he got me into 4th Ed D&D, which, of course, I love. I had been playing Magic before that, but that's way more expensive than 4th Ed D&D. So I took off with that and started running, and now, you know, we've got such a stable of games that we like to play. You know, it's hard to pick a best one, but that was definitely my beginning, was with 4th Ed.
Sweet.
Well, that would make me Tank, and I got started in tabletop gaming. It would have been in the mid-90s playing Advanced Dungeons and Dragons with this guy I knew from school who would just make maps and you'd make a character and go play and he'd freestyle the whole thing. It's very addicting. He was pretty crazy, so it was entertaining. And from there on, it kind of blossomed into a lot of D6 Star Wars and got into Magic. But yeah, that's kind of what I've been doing ever since.
Sweet. This is Mac, and I started probably around the same time as Tank did, but in a completely different town. A buddy of mine's older brother had the rules for Dungeons & Dragons, and so the one time I was over at his house, we grabbed his brother's books and decided that we were totally going to play. But of course, we really couldn't understand the actual rules, so we just sort of made up our own crap. And very shortly thereafter, I convinced my mother to buy me some Dungeons & Dragons stuff. And unfortunately, at the time, that meant I bought a module, and I didn't have the rules to the game. I bought a module first, and I was like, how do you play this? This is ridiculous. Like, there's no idea. Like, how... Finally, it sunk in that, like, oh, this is not the rules to the game. This is another add-on. So then I had to go back, and so I started in 2nd Ed D&D when I actually got around to buying my own books for the first time. And I pretty much played that right up through high school, up into college. I got into some White Wolf gaming, like you do in the early, in the late 90s, early 2000s. And then from there, I moved to Kansas City and hooked up with an awesome group of guys down there and played a absolute ton of 3rd Ed D&D. We started going to conventions, things like that. And then I moved up here. And discovered that there was absolutely no gaming to be had here. So
it was all being done in secret.
And so after years of having children and life being otherwise occupying, I decided, you know what, it's high time we start doing some gaming around here. So I started recruiting some people and tried to grow my own game group. And by golly, it looks like it's working.
Yay!
Hermes?
Yes, that's me. Let's see, started with Magic the Gathering to begin with, kind of went with Tank into his adventures in D6 Star Wars, and once I went to college, took a very long hiatus of about 10 years, and then returned back to this area, and joined this group. And I have a ton of fun doing gaming in all these different scenarios and worlds and systems. So,
all right, old man, that's you.
I'm old man, and there's a reason they call me that. Probably because I'm old and technically a man.
All of 12.
And yeah, even though I act like I'm 12, and never really did much with gaming at all when I was young. And then about the same time, Sea Turtles.
Woody.
About the same time, Woody started. I was also one of those that that was recruited by Mac.
I can't see his name.
Got recruited by Mac, and so I started with some of that 4th Ed D&D stuff, and then we kind of progressed from there.
So I think we originally sort of hooked you in through theater stuff.
Yeah,
really. It was, oh yeah, and there's this guy at theater that's really awesome. What is it you guys do on the weekends? Can I come?
Because I have no social life of my own, so let me glomer onto yours.
I actually think that was sort of my entrance as well. You hooked me with my wife, and then...
Yep.
He hooked you up with your wife?
No. Hooked me in from the connection.
My hubby plays with magic cards. Is that the kind of same kind of thing? No, but it's certainly a gateway drug. Gimme.
Me manipulate.
Come to my house.
Sounds close enough. Hook set. Yep. All right. So now I just kind of wanted to go around and talk. We all sort of started out, at least in when we started up this game group, we started up with 4th Ed D&D. So I was just going to have us go around and kind of give an overview of sort of what one of our current favorite systems are. I know sort of in the last... year or two, we've really started branching out and trying some new things, and so just kind of wanting to, it could be just an old favorite that you'd like to get back to, or something that we're doing now that you're really stoked for. So,
well, I personally, it depends on whether you're just starting a new world or whether you're in the midst of playing. Because for me, if you're in the midst of playing, I've not found anything that I like strictly better than the Apocalypse World system, specifically the one set for Dungeon World, because it's just so fluid, and having played 4th Ed, I feel like Dungeon World is significantly closer to where Dungeons & Dragons should probably be. I mean, the everything is more fluid about the game. The combat's more fluid. There's more role playing. It just seems like there's more going on and less sitting in downtime, in my opinion, than running like a straight mod. But if your world's starting, I find it much easier instead of just fully creating your own world. I really love the quiet year. Because Quiet Year just does a great job of setting everything up. It gives you so much to latch on to. And, even though the Quiet Year is set up with specifically, like, the Frost Shepherds are coming at the end, and it just came off of the whatever horrible thing just happened. I can't remember off the top of my head.
But yeah, it turned into an icicle, I think.
Yeah,
Druidsicle.
Right, but with Quiet Year... You can take that thing that happened and make it whatever thing it is that is kicking off your game.
I saw actually on Avery's website that he's currently playtesting like another take on Quiet Year. I cannot remember now what the specific setup for this one is, but it's definitely like a same sort of thing, only with a different flavor to it. It's less post-apocalyptic, I think, and more... I can't remember.
So a noisy year?
I don't remember now the specific. I just remember seeing it and thinking, oh sweet, another quiet year-ish thing that we can also take and put to good use.
So. Well, I know certainly for the games that I run going forward, because as we all know, I'm now running a Fate campaign. The next game, I'm absolutely kicking it off with Quiet Year, or at least something like it, to set up the game world before we dive in headfirst to the actual game.
Tank?
What was the question?
favorite game system, current favorite, past favorite you'd like to get back to?
Well, definitely the past favorite is an itch I've been wanting to scratch for a long time, is the old school D6 Star Wars.
I was wondering if you were going to say that.
That is, that's just got a special place in my heart. Hours upon hours.
So here's a question for you. If I do this Christmas manage to get a hold of, which it's definitely on my wish list, the new Fantasy Flight Star Wars system. Is it more of a Star Wars itch, or is it that D6 system, do you think?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, the D6 system is what I knew, what I grew up with, and what I know. I've always been more of 60% sci-fi, 40% fantasy type of person when it comes to gaming. I really like the sci-fi aspect, and I think that we really haven't done much of that outside of Dread. We've done a couple of Dread games that have had a sci-fi tilt to them.
It's definitely a hole in our repertoire at the moment. I know if Cyberpunk fills that. I know one of the Kickstarters that I'm waiting for, The Sprawl, is an Apocalypse Engine Cyberpunk game. So that might twist your buttons just a little bit. But yeah, I would really love to get a hold of that Fantasy Flight Star Wars system and give that a whirl with this group. Because sci-fi is definitely an itch.
Would Numenera fill that role? Or is it not quite set up for that?
Yeah, I feel like Numenera is... Like the way that it's set up, it doesn't have that sci-fi. It's more of a Thundar the Barbarian science fantasy.
Yeah,
kind of.
I can see that.
It's lacking the sci-fi part. I think that he's sort of like, it's closer, but it's still too much fantasy. I'm guessing to really scratch that itch properly.
Sounds about right.
Well, so. But we've also got systems we could adapt.
Just, oh, absolutely.
You know, Fate, and there's a game in this book.
And that kind of brings me...
We've got several systems.
I've got Savage Worlds that I haven't even busted out yet.
That kind of brings me around to one of my current favorites that we tried out was the... two of them, actually. The Wushu mechanic.
Oh, yeah.
Was...
I didn't even get a chance to try it.
Incredibly fun. I didn't think that I would like the whole idea of fighting to keep your narrative power instead of, you know, trying to keep your character alive. But I really like that. I like the fact that your character wasn't necessarily killed if you were pushed out of the situation. You just didn't have the power to tell the story anymore. And that was very unique.
And
I also liked the Danger Patrol.
Oh yeah,
that one was fun.
If if you're looking for just some plain old silly fun for a couple of hours,
oh, man.
Danger Patrol is hard to argue with. I'm looking forward to getting those episodes edited and put up. But
oh man, and I would love to get a fiasco soon.
That is another one that is on my shelf, and we just have not had the chance to get to it. So. For me, right now, my current love is definitely Dungeon World. It was everything that I like. I loved 4th Ed D&D for what it did, and I was really happy with them for, like, I know a lot of people were really mad that it was, like, so different. I really enjoyed that fact that I felt like it was good that they stepped out and took a chance, and maybe it didn't pay off. But I was glad that they had the guts to do it. But yeah, Dungeon World definitely for me brings back sort of the feel of what you wish Dungeons & Dragons was like. And it's pretty easy to either just take some of those old scenarios and you can adapt them. You know, just take the plot line and the basic gist of it and just roll with it. But I think I really enjoy running Dungeon World because I enjoy sort of that feeling of being sort of on the razor's edge of the whole thing falling apart.
Well, it's not like your group has given you anything at all to work.
Oh, no, you guys are so boring and never do anything unexpected, throwing a rock. It's one of my favorites both to run and to play. I think it sort of really, really does hit that high note. Although I am really excited, I think, to try out 5th Ed D&D. I've got the I've got the book, the player's handbook for it. I haven't got the DM's guide or the monster manual yet, but that is definitely another one that is coming down the pike for me. I think I'd like to at least give it a good try once or twice over. So I don't know if it'll replace Dungeon World, but I think as a slightly different flavor, it might definitely be.
Different flavor, yes.
Yeah, I certainly
agree. At this point, I don't see any sort of fantasy-based system overtaking our collective world for Dungeon World.
The
world we built was just...
Right.
It is now at the point of legend amongst our group, at least.
It continues to bear fruit.
Oh, it does.
Despite having
the only thing Dungeon World is missing is Roland.
Well, maybe, but... There's just so much going on.
Do they have an archer in Dungeon World?
Yeah, we did. It was played by my wife the time. But she hasn't been around lately. So yeah, somebody else could certainly pick up the ranger splat the next time somebody dies and or somebody new joins in.
Well, I've already got plans for that.
So yeah. He's got plans for his next, like, two characters.
Yeah, I've got at least two planned out already. I'm good.
So,
you expect the half orc to go away, or
I expect all hell breaks.
The half orc is running directly into harm's way as quickly as humanly possible, while antagonizing other party members at the same time.
Yeah, because that's just what you do.
That's the best way to go about it.
All right, Hermes, what's on your radar as current favorites for gaming?
The one time that we played the Danger Patrol stuff was fantastic. I enjoyed the heck out of it. I also enjoy. Dungeon World and any of the mechanics are similar. I like the fact that it's my favorite part is the creativity part of it, and just not having this whole set. Here's a path, go on it. If you want to diverge from it, you can really turn in a few corkscrews and loops, and
that's kind of what I was thinking when Mac was talking about the Dungeon World versus Dungeons and Dragons. Dungeons and Dragons is like that linear story in the video game where you're forced to go down a path, whereas
Final
Dungeon
Fantasy
World
versus Skyrim.
Yeah, but it's Dungeon World is much more the sandbox.
Right.
It certainly makes that easier because of the lack of planning required. You know, I mean, with Dungeons and Dragons, especially with 4th Ed, like, if you didn't know what that next fight was, you were hosed, because monster stats were so complicated, and to get something that was properly balanced for the party, like, and not to mention just setup, like, you know, I mean, a combat can take a really long time, and so you want to make sure that combat is interesting and has purpose, and so, yeah, it just takes a lot more planning, whereas Dungeon World, it doesn't matter if you guys turn left or right, I can put something there and come up with a couple of stats on the fly, and oh, they're going to try and punch that thing? Oh, well, then I guess, you know, like the kneel! No! Okay!
Damn it!
Well, I guess I got to come up with stats for this guy, like, right freaking now, because he's taking a swing, so...
We can't give the audience spoilers.
You just threw a rock? Well, and doubly so for you, Mac, running the game is... I've seen that you have pages of notes going into a game, and you use none of them.
Oh, yeah, that one session, just, well, that's pointless, that's pointless, that's never going to get touched again, ever. Yeah, I mean, yeah, but that ability to just let that happen and be like, okay, as long as I know what dominoes are set up and what's going to make them fall, wherever you guys go, it's fine. I just have to know, I'll just know that, oh, they never did go over here. Well, then what happened to that since they never touched it? It continues to roll on, and it just becomes something that I'll just have to bring back later, you know?
That cheese turned into penicillin.
How about the old man? What's on your list currently?
Dungeon World. That seems to be kind of a common theme here, and I am kind of a lemming, so yeah, I'll jump on that.
We have all fallen in what we really do, quite a
however,
thing there.
Danger Patrol, it's for me, it scratched that sci-fi itch that you were talking about, you know, that Tank was talking about, and I dug it. I thought it was a lot of fun.
That was a blast.
And yeah, it's okay. Maybe maybe I am old enough to remember radio, but it was like listening to one of them old, you know, Buck Rogers radio shows as we're going through.
It was very Flash Gordon-ish.
Yeah, very much so. Quiet Year was I just like the we just kind of step back and take a bigger picture of what's going on and make the world, and then we went in and wreaked havoc on the world that we had created in quiet year, you know. And I thought that was really, really good too.
That was really, really fun.
I'd like to bring back up, I think it was Tank mentioned Dread, and when I think about it, that is such
that mechanic.
Perfect for that, just that one shot, like when we do it around Halloween.
Yep.
Maybe pepper it in one other time out the year.
I've got the next one I've got one is more of a July. It's a summer action movie one is the next Dread that I've got.
Yeah.
I only got in on Dread once, and
well, you were here when it flooded.
Yep. And that's the only time I got to play. So yeah. But yeah, I did enjoy that.
Yeah, we're never playing upstairs again.
No, never, that's never. Far too rickety.
Yeah, oh, it was made the tower a little extra unstable, huh?
Yeah, it was.
Well, it doesn't help that somebody take, you know, two tiles from the side. Hey,
you and I both know that's the best way to bring things up.
Oh wait. That was me.
Both of us.
Whoops.
Me, then you.
Want to make sure the game goes quick? Bottom two.
Yep.
Deal with that.
But anyway, I just the thought of that for anybody who may not have actually heard of Dread, the system is based on the Jenga tower, and whenever you do something that you might not be able to do, or if something jumps out at you, you are pulling blocks until that is resolved, and it really simulates quite well, in my opinion. That tension that comes from a horror movie, which is what it's really set up to do.
It definitely does. I mean, you get the visceral experience of that tension. Like I know, like after the one time when we were playing, and after I died, like I just had to go over and lay down for a while and
take a deep breath.
Literally, my stomach muscles were like cramped from just like I didn't realize that I was like clenching the entire time until like I died and I was like, oh god, and then I started to relax. I was like, oh my god, I've been like basically doing crunches all night. I've been so tense. So
Dread
I've got Arnold Schwarzenegger abs now.
Thanks, Dread.
Yeah. Dread has the distinction of being the only game that we've played that makes you rely on any sort of physical ability that you have. I mean, everything
else, the actual player.
Yeah.
Not just the character.
Everything else has been based on rolling dice or, you know, your imagination, which you can come up with. But you, if you've got a steady hand and you can deal.
You just need a good flick.
It's
all in the flick.
Oh, or, you know, you can just be, yeah, the crack dealer pushing it on the streets by the school. Gosh, Hermes.
You can drive everybody crazy with that. Can't believe it works.
But the reaction that Woody just had is he just like, oh.
One last thing I'd like to throw in there. You asked about one that an itch you'd like to scratch.
I was actually going to say, the next thing I kind of wanted to go around, kind of bouncing back to Tank's like desire to hit that D6 Star Wars or something Star Wars-y. Is there any other like settings or genres that
you can't
we...
see you raise your hand, Woody?
That's fine. I'm just demarcating my spot here.
Woody wants in on this.
He's getting first.
I badly, not necessarily with the original system, but I really badly want to get back to the mythos of Lovecraft and Call of Cthulhu. I've got a couple of systems like Cthulhu Dark.
Those sheets are super hard to fill out. Characters that are just like...
That's like the original Cthulhu, though. That's why I said Cthulhu Dark, because it's the same...
Tremulous, using the Apocalypse World mechanics to do Cthulhu.
Yep, so there's Apocalypse World mechanics for it, and then Cthulhu Dark is a super stripped-down version. The rule book is 15 pages or something like that.
Cthulhu Dark is super
simple. It's really, really simple. But it sets the same mythos, and that's... I want to visit that... You know, not necessarily the percentile die system again, but I want to go back to the Lovecraftian horror.
Another one that I might like to try in that same vein would be Trail of Cthulhu, which is the gumshoe.
I think I've got that one too.
The gumshoe based. If anybody hasn't heard of gumshoe,
I've heard it.
It's a game where part of what you have for your character is you have points in different skills, and instead of like rolling your skill every time. A lot of your skills, you simply spend the points and you just get the things. So if you're good at this and this investigative skill, you can just say, I have, you know, forensics. What do I find? And you just, you know, and then it becomes more of a...
much more investigative.
And much more of an economy game. You have to decide where to spend your points. What clues are really important? What clues... Well, I could spend, like, all of my points here and learn everything there is to know about this one murder. But then, like, for the rest of the thing, I'm not going to be able to contribute a whole lot when we come to the other murder scenes. Do I want a little bit from each murder scene? And maybe I can piece it all together at the end. It's very much... The gumshoe system is very much designed to do the investigation really well, whereas, like, you know, D&D is meant to do the punching the thing in the face really well. And so, yeah, I'd really like to try that. I'd also love to try, in that same vein, Knights Black Agents.
Ooh,
which is gumshoe. I'm almost regretting telling you this now, but what it is it's gumshoe, only gumshoe playing a game where you are Jason Bourne level people. And there's a vampire conspiracy. Go. It's Jason Bourne versus vampires.
Jeez.
Yeah, I know.
It's kind of like Blade Trinity.
It's apparently extremely badass. I've listened to some actual plays of it. I would love to pick it up. I have a very extensive wish list of games.
Oh, so do we all. Speaking of badassery, I would really love, just as a one-off some night, to hit that Mythender.
We did
hit that once.
Just,
right?
What is Mythender?
You guys maybe hit it. I know I haven't, and I would love to try it just once even.
It is the game that is so fucking metal, and you kill gods. It's what you do.
Yeah, you kill the Norse gods.
Right. In the intro session, you kill the Einherjar, which are the honored dead of Thor's warriors, and then round two, you kill Thor. That's how the game starts, usually. That's the tutorial, is you killing Thor.
Wow.
Yep. So, yep. Proceed from there.
I've heard the actual play of that first, dying Einherjar and Thor, and it's...
There's several Norse gods.
Knock them down.
So many other myths, and the best part is that, like... As you do this, you have to take in mythic power and become corrupt. You'll eventually become corrupted
and
become a myth yourself. So half the time, by the time you've killed Thor, at least one of your compatriots has now become a myth themselves, and then you have to go kill them.
Okay.
So it's very much a self-perpetuating cycle. You can very easily just have a rotating game of, what have we done lately? Oh, that's right. So-and-so became a myth. So now we have to go kill the myth version of them.
Time to kill Tank.
Yep. And now Tank has to make a new myth ender to end his old character.
Yeah.
Who is going to go off and kill Mac, because Mac just became a god because he killed Tank.
It seems like the corruption mechanic does a really good job of just, nah, don't worry about it. After the first couple gods you knock off, you'll just make your own problems. So. But it's definitely another one that I would like to get back to the table. Tank, I know we talked about earlier about your Star Wars sci-fi desires. Is that sort of the biggest thing on your list?
Yeah, I mean, that would also encompass, if they ever make a decent Star Trek game, that would be fun. Or even, I guess there's a lot of different mechanics you can put into a Star Trek type.
I've seen a knockoff of the Apocalypse World mechanic that does Mass Effect. That's very Star Wars and Star Trek-y.
That shares some blood there. Other than that, I guess I liked when we did Wushu. I liked the 1980s. I guess a current time frame based game would be fun to do as well.
Modern setting as well.
Yeah, a modern day setting. Whether or not there's any sort of fantasy or sci-fi or any turns on it like that, I don't know, but yeah, that's pretty much. I think
Tank wants more guns.
Yeah. No, guns and technology. Because there's all kinds of fun stuff you can do.
You can crank that. Well, that wouldn't hit the sci-fi itch, but you can do a lot of modern day stuff with the Cthulhu ones too.
Yep,
they certainly don't have to be set.
Yep. And Savage Worlds. I've got the one scenario prep for Savage Worlds, but that ends up in a slightly different vein. So I guess, for me, I don't know, I think it just comes down to, like, all the game systems ever. Because I'm a gaming whore.
Meld them all. Mold them into what I want.
Mac, between you and I, we have, what, 50-ish games that we need to try?
We've got a lot of games. I really want to... I so badly... I've talked about this before, I think, but, like, I've bought, I think, every edition of Shadowrun.
Yep.
Because I love the setting so much. I did a college theater costume design project using Shadowrun as the basis for a play. So, like, I really love Shadowrun, and I have literally played it only, like, 3 times in my life.
Put it on the docket.
I was going to say, do you want to play it or do you want to run it? Because I can do the running if you want to play it.
Here's the thing, though. Like, I bought the 5th edition, and just like every other edition, like, I feel like Shadowrun works best because it is a super crunchy, super complicated game system. Like, it works best if you're playing, like, weekly with the same group of people, to where by that 3rd or 4th session, you're finally sort of getting into the thrill of it.
Can it be done in 2 hour settings?
I mean, like...
You're going to have dinner from 7 to 9 kind of thing, or...
Like, I guess you could if we did something like that where we tried to do... I mean, the problem is I don't usually get my kids in bed until 8.
Right, I don't get them in.
Yeah, like just the ability to try and squeeze that in on a weeknight would be just hellacious. And that's one of the main reasons why, like I said, I backed that, the Sprawl, is the techno, the... What's the word?
Cyberpunk.
Thank you. The Cyberpunk Apocalypse World, because one of their stretch goals that they made was called...
Turn it into Shadowrun?
Yeah, I can't remember what they called the stretch goal, but it was basically to add magic into the world, which is pretty much Shadowrun. I mean, like, it was basically they were saying, we'll give you the rules so that you could make this Shadowrun, without saying, we're going to let you make this Shadowrun, because, of course, they don't have permission to do that exactly, but you will certainly, I'll bet, have all the pieces to make it happen. And so, I will then, I think, have the tools necessary to take a group more like ours, where we only play once a month. And so, in order to get the hang of Shadowrun would take us literally almost a half a year, you know, of play. And that's assuming that we remembered from one session to the next. How does this work again?
Really good notes.
So I feel like having a different system to run it in will be much, much more capable. That's definitely one that I really want to get to the table, just because the setting is so cool.
The other problem I saw with what you said is a group of regulars... And we have regulars, but we've got so many people that rotate in and out. Like, you know, Mac said something about there being zero gaming here. And, you know, and then I kind of latched on, and I don't know what... Maybe it's just my personality, but I like to get everybody in on everything. And, you know, I make sure everybody knows, and I try and get everybody to as many game nights as possible, and so our group is expanded.
Right, well, and it definitely helps, too, that, like, I mean, you grew up here, so you know people. Like, part of the problem when I moved here was that I moved here, and I literally knew zero people in this town, and I worked out of town. And so, like, my social connections in town were minuscule at best, so the only people that I knew were the people I was doing theater stuff with. And that was it. But that, you know, that was sort of enough for me to get a couple people together.
And that certainly helped. That's constituted a great deal of our group. But
right.
I've also had, you know, friends that I've basically just roped in with enthusiasm. I'm like, right. You got to just come and try it. If you don't like it, you can leave. But just come and try it.
Right. And I think that's been hugely successful in us going from... At the beginning, where it was, gosh, I wonder if we will have enough. Right, I wonder if we will have enough people to run this module tonight. To, oh my God, what are we going to do? We're going to have to separate into 2 tables. We have 2 dang many people to run this module tonight,
which we did.
Right,
the last real time the whole group got together, we literally had to separate into a dread table and.
I ended up running Danger Patrol again, just because, and that's sort of one of the reasons why, too, I'm trying to build up a strong repertoire of games that I can run pretty much without any prep work at all. So I want to definitely get, like, Lady Blackbird.
Yep.
Is another one that's sort of just in my pile of games that when people come over and we're like, ah, we got too many people. Okay, so you guys go and do the plan over there, and then I'm going to take whoever's left, and we're going to do this random, weird, crazy thing. Go.
Right, and I like that thought, too. I like being able to step in and help be that second GM or third GM is, you know, because Tank's in the mix here too as a GM.
Yep.
And I especially like that because I felt after, well, it probably took me a year because we game, I at least got in on the gaming so infrequently, but I started to feel like Matt carried the unfair burden of always having to be the GM. And I don't like that. I wanted to share the burden.
Well, that was sort of the acknowledged reality when you're sort of starting from scratch of gaming in a new place. It's, well, if this is going to happen, it's going to be because I'm going to have to do it. And so that, but yeah, I knew eventually, you know, the other people would start to have that itch to run games as well. And I really do enjoy running, so I really don't mind. Especially, like I said, now, you know, with games like Dungeon World and stuff that don't require nearly as much prep. It's made that a lot easier. So, Hermes, do you have some itches that you'd like to scratch in the coming year?
I wouldn't mind doing the D6 Star Wars. I know there are a few mods that we haven't finished because there's a naked goblin somewhere.
yeah, and that was the
for 4E.
Oh,
the 4E. What did we call that dungeon with the nasty stuff?
Tomb of Horrors.
That's yeah. Right. We did run.
Grot got turned into a damn woman 3 times.
We did run.
You
weren't
there for that, were you?
The old man was not
there for that. That was.
Yeah, we busted out the 4th edition Tomb of Horrors and just for the sake of experiencing it, because it's one of those things that every D&D player should experience at one time in their lives, the Tomb of Horrors in all its glory. And
I want to try it one more time, but that's just because I've been dead.
Is that like the D&D version of the Kobayashi Maru?
Yes, it is.
Nice. I knocked myself out with a sleep grenade. I mean,
he thought he had
to drag him out.
And my character punched him in the face 4 times in a row through a magical portal door. Yeah.
I would come out as a woman, and then he'd punch me back in because he didn't recognize who I was.
Who was that?
So then I'd come back out, still a woman, and then I'd come back out as myself, but I'm naked. And then he punched me through again, and then I ended up outside. To see you
naked.
Well, I'm a goblin, it's okay.
That is not okay.
A situation where a naked goblin is okay.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, our approach to that one, just run in there and fall into all the pit traps.
That helped that we were only 3 in our party.
the barbarian trap detector was working very well.
Hey, look, there's another one.
Yeah. So I kind of want to get back to that, but then I really want to try doing Dread's mechanic in other non-horror scenarios.
Man, that's summer one.
Well, I mean, just not even just like, you know, you pull and it falls and you die. I think if we look at it from a situation of, you know, like, you pull, you fail, versus, I mean, I know it's a lot of rebuilding of the set and getting it back to certain areas, but I feel like we could maybe adapt it in some other way. Maybe making...
Well, it could be adapted to being like a... more like a TV show, like a drama that perpetuates week after week, where you build up that tension and then the tower falls, and then that was the big...
That's the session.
...thing that happened, and that's the session, and then you...
I like that idea a lot.
You know,
it's like a soap opera.
I think we could do that. I mean,
Law and Order.
It wouldn't have to... It could be... Oh, and here's the big action sequence in the cop chase, and things resolve, you're done.
Maybe we could do that with Danger Patrol, kind of the same scenario. I mean, I don't know, I really like the mechanic for Dread just because of the fact that there is so much tension.
You weren't there the night that I did the one where you were amnesiac and you were getting your memories back, did you?
Yeah, I was.
Oh, you were there for that? Okay.
We were in the lab and it was...
That was a good one.
Then we were on one wing of it.
Yep, you were in the asylum. And
I believe Woody was the killer, if I remember
no,
right.
No, no, it was the other guy.
The guy that got away.
Yeah, he sailed away, but the other guy, the guy that doesn't usually make it, was the one night that managed to come. But he ended up being the killer. Although I realized I'd screwed up the setup and put him in the wrong room. to start.
Well, that's what it was.
So, it was all weird because I realized only at the very, very end that I had put people in the incorrect rooms to indicate, to sort of hint at how the ending was supposed to go.
Yeah.
So it didn't work at the end because...
That wasn't Danger Patrol.
No, it was another dread that we ran at my house.
Yeah.
So. I think I remember that.
I think you have played it twice. I don't think you've only played it once, and it was. I mean, you did play that night.
You played a second time.
Yeah, because I remember at the end you saying that you'd started him in the wrong room, and I'm like,
or did you show up at that one, but you weren't there to play? You just showed up late.
I showed up late.
That was we finished whatever thing you were busy with, and then you're like, I just stopped by to say
that's
hi.
Right. That's right.
Stopped by during the close down of that session.
Yeah,
so
that was a good game.
Actually, old man, how about you? You have any?
Yeah, I was saying, we haven't gotten to the old man yet, so.
Gaming itches?
Well, here's the deal. You guys said, between the two of you, you've got like 50 some games laying around. You know how many I have in my house?
Zero?
None. Absolutely none. I did not grow up playing games like this. I played cards and dominoes because I'm old. That's what I did.
I don't think all that has anything.
D&D existed when I was younger, but I couldn't spell it, so I didn't do anything with it. So all of this is really new to me, and I don't really have much of an idea of what's out there other than what you guys bring to the table.
And
you said earlier, you are a tabletop gaming whore.
Yes.
You want to try everything.
I do.
I, on the other hand, am a tabletop gaming slut, which means anything that gets brought to the table, I'll give it a whirl.
So maybe for you the question goes back more to that that settings or genre. Is there something sort of...
He said Star Trek, and my geek lore just pegged. It's like, yes! Bring it, because that's how old I am.
Star for charity.
Star Trek. Okay.
Captain Kirk is the man. Screw Picard. Just saying.
I think if you're gonna play Star Trek, I think
you Picard get laid more than Kirk.
If you're gonna play it as a role playing game, I think it's far more interesting to play the "I want to punch the alien in the face" Kirk version.
That's a whole nother recordable discussion, though.
Star Wars, Star Wars, Star Trek, or Star Trek, Star Trek Next Generation. Any of those discussions are best elsewhere. But
we can certainly come back.
Star Trek would be good. I need to keep my eye out on some
Star Trek
stuff. Danger Patrol. That kind of scratched that itch a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
At least the one that we played did.
I liked the way that you come up with your characters in that, where you've got like the two part builder. You kind of like the job and then what you are, and you put them together.
That was the one thing that, like, when I first opened up that PDF and it's just a free game on the internet, Danger Patrol. Look it up if you haven't before. It's technically in beta, and it's what I think the author has sort of moved on to other like paying jobs instead of that thing he was creating in his spare time for free. So I don't know that it's ever going to see any more development than what it's at right now, but honestly right now it's perfectly playable and fun. But that was the one thing that made me really want to play that game, was seeing how you create the characters by just grabbing one of these, and it's literally two halves of a sheet of paper, and you lay them down next to each other, and then that's your character spread out between those two, covers all the bases that you need. And that, when I saw that, the way that character sheet is just put together, I was like, that's a game we need to try out, because that sounds fun.
I listened to you guys talk about the Star Trek and Star Wars, well, specifically the D6 Star Wars system. And for me personally, I get so caught up in the lore that's laid down for Star Wars that I would personally, I don't think I could ever run it, because I think I would be too caught up in the lore that's already been, and I would have a really difficult time creating my own new lore for characters in that world. Not that I wouldn't play it if either of you two ran it, Mac or Tank. But
the way I remember the way D6 Star Wars worked, and one of the things that works really well with is taking the the mechanics of the world itself. So you have ships, you have lightsabers, you have blasters, you have planets you can visit that are all inside of this Federation. Or whatever. The
Empire.
Empire, sorry.
Or
you
Republic.
Keep on saying these things. Okay. Everything else, just think of everything else as just being, okay, all these people were doing their crap. And then there's all these other people doing their crap.
I know, but I feel like you'd hit onto a world that was affected by the original, you know, by any of the movies. And I just, for me, that's just really daunting.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a long, long time ago in a place far, far away.
I understand that, but for the lore that's already set up, I just...
The first game of D6 Star Wars I ever played with my buddies back in the day, it basically just followed along with the first trilogy, episodes 4, 5, and 6, doing kind of our own thing. Every once in a while, we kind of interweave in and out of the story that's going on in the movies. But for the most part, we didn't really tread too much on that kind of stuff until about halfway through, we decided, no, we want to completely take over, and we just became a group of dark Jedi and started destroying everything. And we killed all the main characters in terrible ways, split up the entire galaxy. And
you were high schoolers then?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Definitely sounds like it.
That's right. Come to the dark side. Yeah. We have cookies.
And milk. And that was really fun.
We have to be more like an older public.
You see, that's the turn we took the next time we played. We started a completely, we kept it in that universe, but we started a completely new story outside of any of the movies or the books or the comics, because we'd all ingested all of that in copious amounts. Mm-hmm. So we went completely out of the scope of anything that we knew had happened and just lived in the world and went on our own and did our own things. There really wasn't any crossover with any sort of existing lore. If we needed to, we created our own lore about what was going on, you know, whatever, you know, like everything from, was the Imperial Senate in power, or was the Alliance ruling, were the Sith a problem, were they not, were they like in their seclusion, or any of that. We just kind of made on the fly. We weren't really a slave at all to the story. And I see where you're coming from, and I kind of worry about that if we were to play a Star Trek game with everything I know about that.
Right.
That could really be a stumbling block, but as long as you just kind of consciously don't steer let away. That affect you.
Well,
you can exist within that universe without violating any of the rules of that universe and not necessarily impact the characters from what you are familiar with.
Well,
you know, there's a lot of galaxies and worlds out there.
Not to make this a strict discussion about Star Wars, but you know, when you're out there playing in the galaxy, well, I guess you're set in a different time period than the lore surrounding the movies.
I think
you run into that problem where, like, okay, so the Sith have the rule of two. We know where the two are because that's the time period of the movies. Where would you run into the problems, you know? Then it would just be, like, blaster guys and huts and stuff like that. But anyway, for me, you know, that might be just a completely separate discussion.
I think the choice of time period makes a big difference in that one. But.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. But like I say, for me, it's just, it's daunting. Because I've gone back and started reading the books that are supposed to be, like, the first chronologically in all of the Star Wars books, and it's just... Some of that stuff is... It's really daunting.
Yeah, see, and the only Star Wars lore that I have is the movies. I'm vaguely aware of, like, the storylines from some of the comics and things like that.
Like the Dark Empire stuff.
Yeah, like, I've heard stories about the Dark Empire stuff. I think I've read, like, you know, basically the Wikipedia summary of the plot for that time period. Actually, no, I think what it was I think it was actually in, like, a Star Wars role-playing game book where it had the want to set your game in this time period, and it had just a quick summary of, here's what's going on in the galaxy right now. So-and-so's in charge, this is where these people are, this is what's happening with this, and this is the big problem that's about to hit.
And deal with it.
Right, and go. And so I think that's, like, the sort of the extent of my knowledge. So maybe I'm just... not as crippled with knowledge. And besides, Disney just wiped out all that continuity anyway, so just ignore it.
Sorry, I just took us on a wild swing of digression.
That's right, but it's good to know, because obviously that definitely pushes towards more Star Trek, more Star Wars. Definitely something that I need to push towards is getting some sort of sci-fi thing to happen here, because that's definitely an itch that we have not yet scratched.
Or at least one of us providing the game system and providing the other GM with the system to run with it.
Right. The next thing is that I noticed something that nobody has brought up, and maybe that's just because we just don't have the itch for it, is superheroes.
Ooh. See, I've actually got a couple of interesting games that I think might go as superheroes.
Okay. So
I wouldn't mind a superhero. The mechanic we used for the... was it
DC? Marvel Heroic?
Marvel Heroic. It's just... It was really cumbersome.
Yep.
And it is. A lot there. It's terrible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
It was hard to wrap your head around. The
other part of that one is because you're getting stuck in a character that is already built, you have no way of affecting their personality, you've got to fulfill that. And it's kind of like what you're going back to with the Star Wars stuff. I mean, if you have a story that's already there that you can't affect, that you need to keep
right,
intact...
It's difficult to...
Yeah. You can't build
Batman
your world.
Batman is Batman, Superman is Superman.
Right. Now, one thing that you could do to get around something like that is create your own... Well, I know, in fact, in the Fate core book, they talk about doing superheroes, and Fate has a setup for that.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like when we did the Danger Patrol, you are a superhero.
Basically, yeah.
Right, but basically like setting up your own Incredibles universe where you are...
Right.
Superheroes, but it's not affiliated.
Oh, I want to be the stretchy woman. did I say that out loud? Oh, you're going to edit this, right?
Wait, yeah, sure. Did you say you want to be her or do her? I don't understand.
A little from A, a little from B. you know, if we and I really enjoyed the superhero business that we played with Marvel. The system is cumbersome. There's all kinds of rules that go with it.
I know this is becoming cliche, but I'm also a backer on a Kickstarter for an Apocalypse World superheroes hack, so...
Perfect.
Like, basically, I think my goal, like, last year was every time a new Apocalypse World thing popped up on Kickstarter, I backed it, and so, like, it'll just be, I have Powered by the Apocalypse every flavor of game you want.
Yes,
you need Psy-Techno, you need post-apocalyptic, you need fantasy, you need...
It's a perfect system. We've already talked enough about.
Meanwhile,
system,
on the internet, people have been advertising you can get free money.
It's all the same game system, right?
Yeah, basically.
I would say that if we ever did the superhero thing again, just let's create our own superheroes and put it like in a wushu.
Doing it in a different system and with our own homegrown world instead of trying to use the established Marvel or DC setting.
Okay, we'll do a quiet year to set up a world, and then
a planet travels through a tale of a comet
or whatever the other ones are.
Yeah, okay. Or Microscope. Is another one that's a world building kind of thing.
Yeah,
yeah, just do something like the planet your civilization lives on travels in its orbit through the tail of a comet, and
you know,
people start getting.
Oh, that sounds like a show I've seen.
I never got to play the Wushu. I actually can't wait for the podcast to come out for it.
That's right. I should edit that.
But the
I think it's 6 hours long.
It is.
But
oh my god, you know, we never stopped playing.
The thing about that for me that's interesting is I think that will work really well with superhero because you never actually die. You're just pushed out of that.
Yep, you're pushed out of the scene,
as it were.
Tank introduced me a little bit to the mechanic with the dice and the creating the narrative. While it's open, and I like that, it just seemed like there could be a lot of one-sidedness in the conversations.
Well,
to me at least.
Yeah, and when we went through and did that little piece the other night, that was more or less just to show you how the mechanic played itself out. It is Wushu is way different when it's just two people. I mean, it's weird. You got to have more than two people to make that really flower, and I think. If Hermes, you give it a shot with more than just one person.
The other thing that I really want to do with Wushu is get a bunch of the expansion books because we were just playing with just the basic the free basic like rules.
The 7-page pamphlet.
Right. And so I would really like to, like, I added to my RPG Now wish list, like the wushu, yes, gunfu, oh man, and the wushu basically all of the things that said wushu add-ons, like I think it was like sword fu, gun fu,
sexy fu.
That is one, actually.
Is there a tofu?
That is a thing. I don't know that I added that one to my wish
tofu
list, but...
What kind of a red-blooded American are you? The sexy food.
we'll get it next.
It's all about that food.
That's something
different.
So.
But yeah.
All right. So, any closing thoughts? Anything anybody wants to...
I think we should start going down that list of things that you have that you've been sitting on for a while, and just like...
Well, when we have enough players, that's definitely the plan.
Actually, it might not be a horrible idea to sort of create, and maybe that's one of the things I can go home and do even tonight, is create a Google Doc with the game systems that each of us sort of like have, and maybe even just like a short little blurb about them.
Well, sure. Here, I'll email those to you right now.
Yeah. Thanks, old man.
The
for y'all, none.
Got it.
He's got none.
I got none.
The only thing we gotta. I mean, we do have a lot of stories we need to service yet. I mean, we haven't played the game that we played this evening for.
We had
the better
played
part
it for months.
Yeah. I think it was last time it was still winter out.
It was, because the last time we actually did add.
And we are in winter now. So
it was when it flooded.
That was
and that
in
was
June.
In June.
No, we were playing Dread back in June.
Yeah, I know.
But
that was the last time we played a game here, and
right.
We only play the game we played tonight here.
Which was Fate, if anyone
Fate.
Hasn't been listening. But
and no, Internet, you will never hear the recordings of that Fate game, because we decided in our infinite wisdom to not record it, because that game just gets way too filthy.
Poor decision, I tell you. Poor!
It did fall off the rails a little bit there.
Poor decision. Everybody should hear that. That's the best stuff we do.
But yeah, we've got the Fate storyline that Woody's running, and we've got the Dungeon World stuff Max running,
and we've got the potential to go back to Monster of the Week as
I say, Monster of the Week is still rife to be replucked.
Which, by the way, for those of us that may not know, and I know Mac, you and I both know that Evil Hat Games,
released
Fate, is going to re-release a nice.
Like
really a nice version of Monster of the Week.
I'm super excited. Like, I was about to buy Monster of the Week, like, in paper, in Dead Tree version, and then I saw that announcement from Evil Hat, and I was like, oh, never mind.
Yep,
waiting for that version.
Yeah. So it looks like they've put a really amazing spin on it.
Well, and as the author said, he's like, even after releasing it, obviously, we got a lot of feedback about the game, and so there are a few little, like, mechanics tweaks and things like that that they're just like, oh, we realize that, like, this works better if you do it this way. And so they've tweaked a few of the mechanics, added some really, really beautiful art.
Yeah.
And so...
I don't remember... I don't think I've ever been involved in any of the Monster of the Week stuff.
Really? Yes, you were.
Yeah,
you
Wash.
Were the...
Oh, yeah.
You were Wash, the computer nerd.
Yep.
You've got friends on the internet, remember?
Yep. That was Monster... Yes, you certainly
that
were.
That was the name we had... Oh, we had like 8 or 9...
Oh,
no,
man,
we had more than that.
So many people.
We had over 10, I think.
Yeah.
11, maybe.
Which, and that's the type of night we need to cut it down. Now, the only problem I see with that, and I don't know if this is necessarily my closing thought, but some of these game systems... I really like when all of our core group is involved so that we all can intelligently discuss what happened.
It is sort of the issue that we're running up against now is that everybody wants to play every game. And so without either having some people just don't get in on certain games, or
as evidenced tonight where we set an age limit.
Right. Well, there was that, but that was more due to content.
Somebody's
got to
think of the children.
But that's something that I've sort of noticed too, is that as things have grown, I mean, there are some game systems that can handle the large numbers better than others.
Most of ours shouldn't ever go over 5 or 6.
Right, 5 or 6 really should be a fairly hard cap. I think we've found, like, anytime, I mean, like, it's possible to do it with more, but the quality goes down, and the amount of screen time that each person gets. I think the Apocalypse World style games handle it, I think, better than most, in that it's a little easier to juggle back and forth between people. And
well, I don't know if you guys noticed tonight, but I was definitely trying to make sure that everybody got there.
Yep. And it's sort of one of those constant struggles. But yeah, I think it's sort of the problem we've run into now is that we now have a game group that is large enough to have this problem of sometimes we just have too many people.
Not necessarily the worst problem.
Right, and it's a fabulous problem to have, but yeah, we do sort of have to sort of come up with some ways to go about it, and some of that is just, you know, deciding, like, okay, if we're going to run this game, and that's going to involve these people mostly, and then anybody else who shows up will, you know, sort of play some of these other one-shots, you know, and maybe sort of somewhat customize the games we play on any given night based on who's there. Oh, we have so-and-so, but so-and-so is missing? Oh, well, then that means we should be running this game.
Right.
Because that's, you know, that's the core group for this game. That's the core group for this game. Then we run into the problem is that, like, you know, with Dungeon World now, like, everybody's in on that one, theoretically, and so
they don't always come. That's infrequent. That's the one thing that we don't have. We have consistent
attendance is an issue.
Five of us are consistent, and then the other 12 are
in and out.
Yep. And that doesn't even count people that haven't showed up for over a year.
Right.
I mean,
right. There's a few that I know. Some of them just don't have the time, or
you know
they have to get up early on Sundays. So if we played on Fridays, that would be different, and they'd show up.
Maybe that's the key, is, I mean, I understand, I mean, you guys got kids and everything else, but if there's other ways of, if it wasn't just you two organizing events, maybe that would help some of that, too. I don't know. I mean, maybe. And you guys do a lot of that work, and it's an unfair burden for both of you, but it's
not really all that much work. We say, hey, should we game that night? Sure. I'll put up a Facebook thing. Okay.
Yep.
You sent out a text. I'll put up a Facebook invite. Done.
Right, but then there's letting people in your
house. And then you call me because I never answer my text.
Old man can never answers.
I don't know. Why does that keep beeping at me? Shut up, you dumb kids.
What is this Facebook stuff?
Yeah, I just about fell off my chair when you, like, clicked maybe on the Facebook invite for the... I was like, wait, was he actually on Facebook today? Oh, my God.
Looking some face or what?
Oh, my God, you've got a smartphone. When did that happen?
3 days ago.
Yes!
Like right after I talked to you on the phone.
Right, yeah, I told you, I got a new phone.
Yep. Dude, we have to play Space Team.
What?
Okay.
Oh, Space Team. What's Space Team?
Okay.
I think we're going to have to shut down the recording and play Space Team now.
Space Team.
Oh, seriously. Hey, does anybody have anything? I guess in parting, I'd just like to say, I think that we've done a great job growing our group. And those core members of us that generally show up every time, I think that we've developed certainly a lot of cohesion, and it's, you know, not to toot my own horn or our own horn, but I have so much fun listening to our games and then participating in our games.
I love it when I don't die.
Mini-Me is one of the guys listening.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
You know who Mini-Me is, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
And he goes home,
up in his room, and he logs on, and he listens to the game, and he's like, why didn't you tell me? Why didn't you bring me along?
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I've listened to some other podcasts, and I can tell that those people like each other and have some cohesion, but I just don't feel like it runs quite as smoothly. So I'm just going to give our group maybe a little tip of the hat that I feel like we run not necessarily efficiently, because sometimes we can be diverted by things.
We do tend to fall off rails on occasion.
I don't like it when you kill me. That's all I'm going to say.
But
quit throwing rocks.
Hey, wasn't the rock throwing.
But we certainly always seem to have a great time doing it. And it just seems more fluid or something. If you can back me up on that.
I think we've definitely had a good time putting the stuff together, and I know the ability to go back and listen to the game sessions has actually been really good for me as a GM, just because there's a whole bunch of things now that, like, I didn't catch that night when we were playing, but then, like, listening to it after the fact, I'm like, oh, wait, he said that. That means that, you know, sort of, like, my brain is able to make connections after the fact, like, oh, I didn't hear him say that night, but what he's really driving towards there, I think, is something else. So that's sort of a really big boost, you know, even if nobody else ever listens to our game system, or our game on the internet, I will listen, because it is a really nice refresher for me. And it certainly made me more aware of things like having multiple conversations going at the same time at the table. Now, like, I sort of, now having listened to that on the podcast and some of the earlier ones, I'm more aware of it. And I try and, you know, if I'm talking and a couple other people are talking, I'll stop and let them finish their conversation, because I know, oh, wait, on the audio, this is going to sound terrible because we've literally got two conversations going and it's so hard to listen. Mm-hmm. And so I know, especially some of our earlier episodes, there are a lot of things like that that are sort of like, ooh, okay, yeah, we need to work on that. But I think, it, you know, it's all these, like, little things, little sort of production-level things. But, like, as far as the games go, yeah, I'm really happy with what we've got so far.
And I know that's helped. I feel like it's helped my GMing, because I've begun, okay, so you go. And then if I know I'm just going to say, okay, talk amongst you, you know, share the information that you have with the other characters, you know, then I just shut it, you know, and I know that that's been beneficial, I think.
All right, well, if nobody else has any closing thoughts, I think we'll call that
tacos
rock.
All right, well, thank you for joining us for our first ever inaugural table flip.
Yep, thanks for listening.
Bye.
Tacos good.
This work is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share Alike 4.0 International License. All works discussed are the property of their respective owners. Our intro and outro music is by Idle Exhibit.